Stay on the ball and keep your eyes on the road. Don't lift your phone while in the car. Drive smart.
Here we go, Amy McDonald, look at that brief. And you're singing a song, thinking this is the life, and you wake up in the morning and your head is... Oh, how'd you open the door?
Who?
Oh my God! Amy, what's happening? How you doing, pal?
Alright, how are
Say
you?
Hi to GoPro.
Hello, GoPro.
Oh, wow. Now we're talking, eh? Right, talk us through, what's the motor?
This is a Ferrari 458 Speciale.
Wow.
Okay, see.
Is this your baby or her?
This is a bit of a collector's item now. Usually I chop and change my cars a bit, but I've had this now for 4 years. Because it's the last Ferrari that they ever made without turbo.
Oh, really, right?
Yeah, so.
But you had another Ferrari as well, didn't you?
I had a Ferrari 488, yes, as well, but I sold that to pay for my wedding.
Behind you, Dave, for Richard Foster. Right, we're going to Barrowland first.
We're going to Barrowland, right?
You know your way?
Nope.
Right, I'll direct you. Right, come on, we'll head out here. Old Hampden Park. You've sang some. Big tunes at Hampden Park, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I've done the anthem a few times. The one against Spain was possibly the best ever because Scotland played really well that night. I always say with Scotland, we're in a team of mimics that will just mimic the team that we're playing against. So when it's Spain, that's amazing, but then when that's the Faroe Islands, it's not so amazing.
Do you remember when you got told for the first time that we're going to ask you to sing the anthem?
Where the hell am I going, by the way?
Go right here.
Right. Yeah, it was a friendly, and it was against Argentina when Maradona was the manager.
Wow.
So it was pretty amazing because he was there, and there's all these young boys that were the mascots. I'm going right again.
Find this side of him. Oh no, that side though.
And it was all these young boys that were the mascots, and they were desperately trying to touch his hand.
they were
all going, getting a hand, high five, and then they were all screaming, going, "I've touched the hand of God!" It was good fun.
See your preparation for something like that. Is it similar to the players' preparation? So you get the pre-match nerves, and then the shin guards and the tights before you go out.
Oh gosh, I get so nervous doing that anthem. I think it's because it just means so much to me. I'm so passionate about Scotland and the football team, God knows why, but I am, and I always just want to do a good job, so I get so nervous, like way more nervous than I do doing my own gigs.
What about like family and friends, did they come to watch you doing that?
They all came, yeah, it was great, they loved it because they got the hospitality meal beforehand. So my
and you
family,
never got any in there?
Well, I didn't enjoy the drinks or anything like that, I was too nervous.
What, have you always been a keen follower of the national team, where does that come from?
It comes from, I remember the World Cup in 98, and I'm just going straight ahead, aren't I?
Yeah, I'm going straight ahead. Uh-huh.
Is that right? Yeah. I remember it was the France 98, and I was still in primary school at this point, and I came home from school, and I was really shocked that my dad was home. I was like, why is he not at work? And he'd taken a half day to watch Scotland v Brazil. So we all watched it, and then I remember when John Collins scored that penalty, I've still got goosebumps thinking about it, going,
really,
oh my God, we're level with Brazil. And my mum's friend came round and she's like, oh, I've been in the supermarket, it's absolutely dead. There's like nobody out in the streets, everybody's watching this game. And it was just, it was soul destroying when we scored that own goal.
Tom Boyd made an arse out, didn't he?
But we still scored more goals than them.
So do you get pure devastated when you see the state of the national team's been in for the last year?
It's hard, but definitely with me, I know, and with other people, I know that apathy has set in a little bit. You don't really expect anything, so it doesn't really bother you as much. But when I went to the Scotland-England game at Hampden, and it was a great day, like we were sitting, Foz and I were sitting with Rod Stewart and all his family.
That's Richie Foster, he's
in the house. So Foz was buzzing because Rod Stewart across the dinner table was like, you play for St Johnstone, and he was like, oh my God, I've been recognised by Rod Stewart. And then he went to the toilet and Rod came over to me, I'd met him before, and he'd came over and said, oh, I've got so many questions I want to ask him. And I was like, well, just ask him.
Did Rod Stewart was saying
that? Yeah, right. So, and he was like, no, but I can't, I'm too embarrassed. And I was like, just ask him, he will be buzzing that you want to speak to him. So he came back, and then he came round and he was asking Foz all these questions. He wanted to know a lot about what Tommy Wright was like at half-time. So he was asking questions like, when you're playing Celtic and it's half-time, like, what does Tommy Wright, what did he say to you the last time, like, we played you this game, like, gave him the date and all that.
And he remembers all
like,
the games,
yeah, and Foz was like, I can't remember. But yeah, so that was interesting. So we went to that game, and that euphoria, like the first free kick, but the fact that the identical one straight after just brought back all my love and the amazing memories of supporting Scotland, like the epic highs and then obviously the tragic lows when they equalised.
See, when the Tartan Army are in full flow and they're all singing, do you join in?
Oh, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, did you
go
for it?
I love it, yeah. I went over to, I was in Dortmund when a couple of years ago we were in the qualifying group with Germany, and the German football manager, Jogi Löw, is actually one of my fans.
So he's one of your big fans, is he?
Well, he's came to loads of gigs, wow. So he actually got in touch saying, oh, we've got Scotland in this group, would you like to come? And we were like, yeah, definitely. So he laid on like a big nice car and all that to pick me and my mates up at the airport, and it had the tinted windows and the German football logo. So we're then driving up to the stadium, everybody's trying to see in, going, who's that in that car? And then it was just three random girls from Bishop Briggs.
Wow.
But that was a great night. We really took advantage of the free bar, and there's a reason why they don't serve alcohol at football in Scotland, and we proved it. But we were right in with the Tartan Army causing scenes.
Amazing. Because you're massive in Germany, aren't you?
Well, that's where I've sold most of my albums, yeah. So
why
I spent
do you
a lot of time. I don't know, I just, from the first time I went over there, they just seemed to like what I do, and then they're a lot of people in Germany, they're not fickle like we can be over here. Mm. Like in the UK, it's all about new, whereas over there, they're like, if they like you, they're kind of with you.
What was it? I've got a proposition for you. Obviously, you've done the big Hampden, but fancy doing a Peterhead game?
Peterhead?
Yeah.
I've not been asked.
Well, this is me asking you. You want to know what the club's anthem is?
What?
We sing when we're fishing.
What's that?
So it's a big fishing village, so that's what the Peterhead song is. Do you want me to sing it for you?
If you want.
Well, we sing when we're winning, and we sing when we're fishing, and we'll sing louder than you. And we make the other team look like they're playing Sunday League, so they call us the Blue Toon. Peterhead. You fancy it?
I'll check my diary.
Can't believe you've patched this. Was it football that you met, Richard Foster?
No, it was actually...
I keep calling him Richard Foster, like, right, we'll call him the Foz.
I just call him Foz.
Right, Foz. So how did you meet Foz?
We actually met at somebody else's wedding. Oh, it was actually Lee Miller's wedding, you know, who plays for...
Big Lee Miller, he's been on the show.
I think
he's
at
podcast.
Livingston now.
Yeah, he's at Livingston, that's right.
We actually met...
Handsome, very handsome.
We actually met at his wedding in, I think it was 2009. So we've actually known each other for ages. But both of us were with different people then.
All right.
So nothing happened at that point.
Just DMs and that?
No.
And then what, you both became single and did he ask you it?
I think so, yeah. We were just chatting and stuff and we got on really well that time we met. And then he actually came round, that's what it was, I was having a New Year's party and I said, oh, do you want to come round? He was like, I can't, I'm at training tomorrow. And I was like, oh, well, you don't need to drink anything, you may as well just come round. And he came round and he was just like, what have I walked into? Like just all the Bishop Briggs flipping
young team
Jake balls. He obviously enjoyed himself enough to stick around.
And now he's a Scotland's number one couple in my eyes. Right, back onto the cars. As you said, you're quite passionate about cars, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Where does this come from?
I don't really know. I was doing lessons just as I'd signed a record contract. So I was about 18 and I signed a record contract. So I was in this position where a company, Universal Music, gave me a load of money. So for my first car, I was able to buy something half decent. So I got a Mini Cooper.
Oh, love
and
it.
And I used to just like
make
a wee red one with the white racing stripes. And me, I was the only one out of my friends that could drive, and so I would just be designated driver. And we went up to Teen the Park in 2006, and I'd just passed my test, and I had to drive them all, and they were obviously
worst mistake of your life.
Oh my God! And I was like, oh God, what have I done? But we had the best time ever. Like we had such.
Who did you see there?
Of course, I can't even remember who I saw. It was more about the banter with my friends. We just had such a laugh and we have so many happy memories. But from then, I was kind of thrown in at the deep end with the driving. So then I just offered to drive everywhere and I used to just love kind of cutting about in that little mini.
What other cars have you got? You've got the Bentley as well.
So I've got a Bentley Bentayga.
Wow.
Which is my kind of day-to-day, which is a beautiful car to drive. And then it's always been my thing, like it was terrible. My mum used to be an accountant before she retired and she used to just crack up going, what are you buying all these bloody cars for? But I think I've bought something like 30 cars since that first mini, yeah.
How many years?
In about 10 years.
Have you?
But not just
cars?
For me, like I bought my dad a car, I bought my sister a car, I bought my friends cars.
Was that a nice feeling, didn't it?
Absolutely amazing feeling, the best thing ever to just be like.
What did you buy your dad?
A Range Rover Sport.
Oh, amazing, eh?
Yeah, so.
Have you got brothers and sisters?
I've got one sister, yeah. She's.
You're definitely the favourite, aren't you?
No, my sister's actually, she's a consultant radiologist.
Oh, is she?
So she's very smart.
What
yeah.
a family by you, eh?
Yeah.
So she got a nice car as well?
Well, I got her a Range Rover Evoque that she's had for a while now.
Why did I not marry you?
That's
honestly,
a question many people ask themselves.
See, when you were becoming like really successful, mm-hmm. was there always a car that you had your eye on? Was it the Ferrari?
No, it was an Audi R8. That was the one that I just dreamed. I was like, I'd love an Audi R8. And I'd released my first album at this point, but I didn't think anything of it. And then I remember going, do you know what? Things are going all right. You can't take it with you when you die. You may as well enjoy it whilst it's there.
Yeah, I actually love that.
So I bought myself an R8 and I just remember driving it home and just being like, oh my God, this is an R8. And I can't believe that I own this. This is incredible.
Was that the wee moment that you think I've made it?
No, I still don't think I've made it.
Of course you have. You're a national treasure. What do you mean you've not made it? Would that have been the favourite one that you had in the R8 or...
It was just the first one. I think this Ferrari has kind of been my... So this is the second Ferrari that I had. I had three in total. But it was just kind of a bit of a dream.
What does it feel like going to like the Ferrari showroom knowing that you can actually buy one? Is it amazing, huh? That is, come on, it is amazing.
Yeah, probably. It's probably because I'm just so not the target audience.
Right.
Like it's a lot of obviously it's very male dominated, but I went to Maranello last summer. I got invited by Ferrari because they had in one of their museums.
Right.
They had an exhibit which was about women in Ferrari. So there's a massive poster of me on the wall in the
Ferrari
museum. Yeah, because there's obviously not many women in there. I'm going right.
You're going right where that golf's going. Huh? Mm-hmm. Right, we're coming up to the Barrowlands.
Yep.
Favourite place to play?
It is. It's one
is it
of
really,
the,
huh?
And everybody will say the same thing. Like, it's so iconic. Like, the last time I played there, I got the guys from the Barrowlands gave me an award, actually, just because they said the Barrowlands Hall of Fame. Because everywhere I go, I've talked it up. I've got a song on my first album that was inspired.
What song's that?
It's actually just called Barrowland Ballroom.
Right, okay.
Inspired by the venue and my desire to play there. So the first time I played there, it was pretty special. And the first night I actually got presented with my first ever platinum disc.
Was in here?
Was in the Barrowlands, yeah. And wow. I didn't expect it, I knew nothing about it.
See, when you're on stage at the Barrowlands, can you actually like see how much I bounce it? Is it in the crowd?
I'm not sure you can see it so much, but...
feel it.
You can just feel the vibe. Where should I go?
Just take it right up here.
Right up here. You can just feel... There definitely feels like one of the lyrics in that song of mine, it says, oh, there's magic in the air, I swear, and you can definitely feel that, like, when you're there.
You ever get any DVDs for the bars after it or before it now?
No.
Favourite gig at the bars that you've had? Is there one that stands out?
I think it was probably the first time I played there. It was near Christmas, so everybody was in such high spirits. Like, they were just absolutely buzzing. And we just had such a great time. We'd done a cover of Fairy Tale of New York. Sorry, I need to go slow with them speed bumps.
I've brought you the worst weather, sorry.
It's all right. And it was such an amazing evening. And then I've spoke to other bands and stuff, and everybody says that the Barrowlands is their ultimate. They just
what sort of bands? Like anyone obscure that loves playing at the Barrowlands? That said to you now.
Not obscure. U2 said to me that one of their most memorable, like Bono said, one of his most memorable shows was at the Barrowlands.
No way.
Just loved it. Yeah.
What? Who's your favorite? Who's the favorite artist that you've met? Look, this guy's looking at the Ferrari.
Well, that's the thing. You can't go anywhere in this car. It doesn't really blend in. Favorite artist that I've met.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Bruce Springsteen. So for
the
me.
The boss.
For me.
I thought I was the boss.
When there's only one boss. When I met him, it was like dream come true.
And did he know your music and stuff like that?
I'm not sure he knew it, but he's got a very famous collaborator that he's always worked with, a guy called Bob Clearmountain. And Bob actually mixed a few of my albums. So as soon as I said to him, I'm going straight on.
No, go right here. Right.
As soon as I said to him, oh, Bob mixed a few of my albums, it was as if I was family. That was me. That's the secret password. If you know Bob, then you're in there with the boss.
Bob's a man. See, just on Barrowlands, see Glasgow in particular, you think it's one of the best cities for music and gigs?
Oh, definitely. We're very lucky. But there's just such an amazing selection of venues in Glasgow that loads of other cities don't have. They maybe have like a theatre and then that's it. And then there's maybe one big arena out of town somewhere. But in Glasgow, we're super lucky because there's such a great selection of different sized venues,
yeah.
And there's places basically for everyone to play.
Did you do like pubs and clubs before you done places like the Barrowlands?
Yeah, I used to do. There was a pub, it's still there. It's called the Priory now, but it used to be called Brunswick Cellars on Sucky Hall Street.
Right.
And I would go in there and do the open mic, and I was only 15. And one of my most memorable times in there doing the open mic was when Scotland were actually playing the Netherlands at Hampden. We won 1-0.
Right. Is that McFadden?
No, it was before then, I think. So it was the Netherlands at Hampden. We won 1-0. We subsequently lost the second leg about 6-0.
Dan Fletcher or McFadden, but, was it scored that?
All right, okay. But so everybody had started to trickle in. It was like 5:30. They'd all been at that football match, all the Tartan Army, absolutely buzzing because Scotland had just beat the Netherlands. So I'm sitting there doing my open mic and I was like, I sensed a great opening here. So I'd done Flower of Scotland and the entire place was jumping and I was like, brilliant. That was early days, I was only 15 at the time.
You could have been hopeless that night and everyone still would have clapped.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Flower of Scotland, is that your favourite song to sing, Flower of Scotland?
I don't think it's my favourite song to sing, but I do love singing it. It's just such a beautiful song, it's so poignant. Like, I think a lot of times people say, oh, they don't like it as an anthem, but it I think it's got everything. I think it really kind of riles you up and gets you.
Definitely gets you going. See, I always ask footballers this, so I'm going to ask you, was there ever a time that you thought, I might not make it?
Yeah, you never really expect to make it. It's a weird one, like the music industry as well, you never know with anything. You never know, like even if you've got like a massive first single or something, it doesn't really mean anything, especially not now. So you never really know how things are going to go. But I don't know, I think when I started out, I was so young, so I didn't really have that anxiety and worry that comes with getting older. You just kind of go with the flow a bit more. Scotland had put their bid in for the to host the Commonwealth Games, and they had used one of my songs, a little song called The Road to Home, in like their main campaign video. So on the day where they found out who wins the Commonwealth Games, who's going to host it, they had a big party on at the fruit market and they showed this video and all that. So I was there and I was on the stage with everyone and I sang, and then they won it. And then you kind of forget about it because it wasn't until 2014, so you're like, oh, right, whatever. And then when that came around, it was like, right, Amy, do you want to come and sing? And I was like, yes, oh totally.
God. See, when they get someone like that, I thought, are you in the back of your mind thinking, they better ask me to do this?
Well, you hope, but I mean, that's the thing with Scotland. There's just so many in Glasgow. There's so many amazing bands and artists that have come from here. So there's such a huge pool of people to choose from. But when they got in touch, I was like, oh, yes, amazing. And then it was Rod Stewart's song.
Did you not need to do Celtic Park as well?
Yeah, it was Celtic Park we were at. So I was in there for like the whole week beforehand doing rehearsals. We had a wee office at the front. I don't know whose office it was, right enough. I probably left it an absolute shit pit.
where are you sitting when your album goes to, obviously it went to number one, didn't it?
So it went to number two when it came out, and then it went to number one 6 months later in January, and I was actually in my car and I was in my little Mini at the time.
Right.
And my manager at the time had phoned me, and it was just a Sunday morning, and I thought, I better stop. So I pulled over and I answered the phone, and I was like, yeah, what is it? And I remember him just going, a whole week, it's a battle between you and Radiohead. And I was like, right. And wow. He's like, a new one. And I was like, oh my God. So got my number one here. And it was brilliant. It was just, it's so weird though, because at the time it's like, oh wow. And then you put the phone down and you just carry on driving, going to shops, wherever the hell I was going.
So do you never like stop for a good minute or 5 minutes and
no,
start crying?
No, because I was just kind of pulled over at the side of the road, and I was just like, all right, brilliant, whatever. And it's weird though, because I think now I realise how amazing that is, but because I was just so young and we put the album out and that's what happened, you just think, oh, that's all you do. You just put your tunes out and they fly. But now I know that that is not what happens at all.
You said you're in your car. Do you remember the first time your song came on the radio when you were in the car? These are tremendous questions I'm asking you, isn't it?
You're freestyling as well, aren't you? when I was in the car, yeah, I think when I was in the car, I knew that it was happening because I'd been warned by my record label that somebody was going to, I think it was Joe Wiley, was going to give one of my songs a quick spin. But the first time that I got played on the radio was actually a demo. This was before I was signed, and it's an amazing DJ called Jim Gellatley, who's...
Oh, he's Sinn Féin Dundee.
He should be on every radio station on the planet because he knows music more than anybody I've ever met, and he's just so passionate about it. And he had this great evening show, and I sent him my crap demo. Like, it was recorded in a bedroom. It sounded awful, but of the song This Is A Life. And he said that he absolutely loved it enough to play it. And I remember just listening to his show one night, not knowing that I was going to get played. And he played my crap bedroom demo years before I released it, yeah.
So Jim Gellatley's the man,
isn't he? He is the man. So he was the one that actually gave me my first platinum disc. He came on the stage to
Jim's got
me.
You this Ferrari.
He has, yeah.
Did you buy him a motor now?
I don't, maybe one day.
What about the Open Goal podcast? You never listen to that in the motor?
I haven't listened to it, no, but I've got a friend who had messaged me, like, he listens, watches, whatever, religiously, so...
Is it Tommy Wright?
No, he's a crackpot called Edo, so he'll be absolutely buzzing.
Yes, Edo, you've got a shout-out. What a man. Right, Central Station, pop-up choir, BBC Music Day. What was that all about? It was a bit off the charts, wasn't it?
It was a bit random, but basically... BBC Music Day, obviously celebrating all things music, and they wanted to do a load of exciting things from different places around Britain. And here the idea was Central Station, we'll do a song, and they wanted this song of mine, Woman of the World, so we thought, oh, let's get an all-woman choir. And it was brilliant. The choir, they're a choir called Sensational, and they were absolutely amazing, and it was awesome for me to just...
Where's Frankie Boyle?
Where?
With a ginger beard,
no,
is it?
That is not Frankie Boyle. Since when's Frankie Boyle had a neck tattoo?
Sorry to interrupt you there. So the choir were amazing.
Oh, they were brilliant. And then singing in there with the rush hour kind of commuters, and they were all like, looking at you as if, what the hell's going on here? It was brilliant.
Do you not get any sort of like anxiety or nerves about doing stuff like that now?
I do with stuff like that, more so because you're going... Oh my God, this is live on BBC TV news, and it's also live on the radio as well. Don't muck it up. And then as soon as you start saying that, you start making a mistake.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Right, it's been a great laugh, by the way. I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah, good.
But it needs to be serious now. Road safety.
Okay.
This is obviously a fast car, but you obviously stick to the limit, don't you?
Well, because I'm concentrating and talking too much, and because there's so many potholes in the road, I go pretty slow in this, yeah.
What about, like, does it annoy you? My pet hate people that sit on their phones when they're driving.
See, I just don't do that because, I don't know, like, it's 6 points and stuff, and it's just not worth it. You know, you have one look at it, and suddenly you've kind of verged off to the side a wee bit, so I just don't bother.
There's nobody that important in life that you can't wait 5 minutes to speak to.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. Oh my God, that's amazing. Wow.
See, that it sounds bad, but I'm still doing less than 30.
30, it's just the noise, isn't
it? It's just noisy, yeah.
That's what you pay the big bucks for, that noise. Oh my God, that woke us up. It's King Tut's, it's here, isn't it?
It's down here on the side, yeah.
Side,
just down there.
There's King Tut's there.
And then we're going that way, aren't we? Hydro, are we?
We're going to go to Hydro next, but there's King Tut's. Just a wee bit about the King Tut's, amazing. I've been at a couple of gigs in there, and that is sweaty, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable, though. It's just such a cracking little venue. Like, the history, like, where Oasis were discovered.
Alan that, McGee, wasn't it?
Yeah, that alone is amazing. And then, so I've went back. I done a gig in there not that long ago, like a charity gig.
Right.
And it was brilliant. Just absolutely rammed full of people. Such a great atmosphere. And then I was back there not long after because I was doing my... I had the little spot in Still Game.
And oh, so I you had did, I seen you, huh?
I had to deck Bobby out the front there, so that was good fun as well, so I've got loads of memories of
how good was that Still Game, amazing.
Oh, it was great. Like,
have you watched it religiously, huh?
I've watched it. I went on Celebrity Mastermind a couple of years ago, and Still Game was my special
no chance.
Yeah.
Love
so
it.
I've like watched it from kind of from front to back and taken notes and everything, so as soon as they were doing their kind of last episodes and they were having a few guests, like they got in touch with me straight away and I was absolutely buzzing.
Was that like, was that as big a buzz as like a number one in that? Nah.
Oh yeah, totally. I actually remember I was doing a festival in Hungary and my manager, he came to find me wherever we were at this backstage and he was like, I have just had an email that will make your day. And I was like, what is this going to be? And then he was like, I'll come and let you read it. And then I was just like, oh my God. And then going about and telling all my band and all of that, going, oh, I'm going to be in Still Game. So it was good.
Amazing. They're top guys, I had Greg and Ford.
Yeah, Greg and Ford, like, some laugh. And then Gavin Mitchell.
Bobby, who plays,
he's just, I've spent a few nights out with him now. He's such a laugh. And then Sanjeev Kohli as well. I'm actually seeing him today. He was doing the thing I was doing today. They're all just such lovely people that... You're so happy for them with their success, because everybody's great. Is it? Would it be left here? I'm going
For the Hydro.
Is it? And then under? Yeah.
Just back on the King Tut's. Remember the fun I asked you the same about the Barrowlands, but first time playing there.
At King Tut's. First time playing there was way back in I think 2006. So I had no music out, and I was actually there supporting somebody else. So I was there to support him.
Support, were you, right?
Yeah, and it was great because all my friends and family came down and they kind of left after me. So this poor guy, it was like kind of full and then he went on and they'd all disappeared.
That's what happens when you get Amy McDonald as your backup.
Yeah.
Serves him right. Right, we're going to talk to your other love, Rangers. What's your earliest memory of the club growing up?
Well, when I started getting into football, my dad had been like, oh, do you want to go to any matches? And there was actually a Walter Smith testimonial match going on against Liverpool. So that was the first match that I ever went to. My dad took my sister and I think my mum came along as well, though she was like, what the hell is this? But yeah, that's my earliest memory. Really.
So it come for your dad, huh?
No, my dad's not, like, my mum or my dad, neither of them are really, like, massive fans or anything. It was just, like, me asking if I could go. I think it was just more friends at school and things like that.
Right, mm-hmm. What about heroes growing up? Richie Foster.
Yeah. Yeah, always. I don't know. Like, obviously, like, all the days when, like, Amoruso and all of them players were there.
Big, was, handsome, weren't he, Amoruso? Yeah, fancy him a wee bit, huh?
No. I didn't fancy him. He was a bit greasy for me.
A bit sleazy, yeah. What about favourite memory? Did you go in any big games or anything you can remember?
I remember my dad getting tickets for a Champions League game, and I think it was against Sturm Graz, and it was, like, a 5-1 victory.
Right.
So it was, like... unbelievable, and you're like, oh great, this could really happen this time. And then the same that always happens with Scottish clubs, it's like it comes to the last game with Scotland or Scottish clubs, the last game, you need this to get through. No, you don't get it.
Richard Foster, you said this before, you go to St Johnstone games as well. So
I do,
you're a part-time supporter, aren't you?
I do. I go, like, my mum pretty much goes all the time to watch St Johnstone, even when I'm not about.
Your
she's
mum does,
there. My mum does, yeah.
Love it.
So I've kind of watched it all, but I do enjoy just going to football, and there's something really nice, like about just kind of travelling all round and getting to see every ground. So I do like going.
And Scottish football is exciting, isn't it? There's always something going on.
I love it. I love all the banter. Yeah. It's just never ending. Like I do listen to TalkSport quite a lot.
Big Alan Brazil's good, isn't he?
I like Alan Brazil. I love him when he's got Ali McCoy's on with him. The two of them are a perfect team. But I listen to TalkSport quite a lot, and sometimes like the most minimal thing will happen in England in the Premiership.
Gary Tank commanded it.
Oh yeah, and it'll be like the tiniest thing, and they'll spend about 2 hours chatting about it, and I was like, oh my god. They'd have no time to chat about all the crap that happens in Scotland. Like, literally, there's a new bit of drama every single day.
Oh, that's
like managers like Craig Levine just winding everybody
fighting
up, just stirring the pot and stuff like that. It's just, it makes me laugh, and I do enjoy it all. And I always listen when I'm away. I do like listening to open all mics where they all shout in. So if I'm away on tour, I'll have that on and they'll just be shouting and, right, so-and-so scored, they've scored, he's scored, and I just kind of like keeping up to date if I'm on tour.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Reason I asked as well, I seen your tweet about Richard. How proud that he's juggling a lot outside of football as well,
totally,
isn't he?
What honestly, a guy. He's the busiest person in the world. Like, he can't ever sit still. He's always going to be doing something.
Are you quite similar to her?
No.
No.
I'm definitely not similar to him. I think that's where it comes from.
Right.
But he just needs to be doing something, and he's really eager to learn all the time. He just loves learning, so that's where it comes from. He's like written a novel.
Wow.
And he's also he's done his A licence, and he's got 1 year left now of his psychology degree, and then he'll have all of that. Yeah.
Do you think that's what he'll do? Do you think he'll be going to management?
I think he'll be very good at it. He's done, when he was doing the coaching badges, it was Yogi Hughes was one of the main guys. Yeah, he really liked Yogi. And also Brian Rice at Hamilton,
yeah.
He was one of the coaches as well. And I think, like Foz said, that they were really kind of helpful and I think quite complimentary, and said that he would be totally fine and he'll have no issues or whatnot. So that's quite good.
And would you be his assistant?
Me?
Yeah, get the track on that.
I'm always the boss.
I think you could go through people. I think you could be quite scary.
Yeah, I would always have to be the boss. Yeah.
Oh, would you, right? So he'd be your assistant?
Yeah, he could be my assistant.
Right, love it. Car share.
Oh, yeah.
So I prepared you for this, but I know you've not thought of anyone, have you?
Too busy talking.
So if you could pick a car share with four passengers for a long distance journey, who would you pick?
So,
I've put you a St Johnston back four.
Sorry?
A St Johnston back four.
St Johnston back four.
Right, who are you saying?
Right. Does it need to be football people?
No, anyone.
Right,
anyone.
Right, okay. Bruce Springsteen.
Yes.
Do they need to be
alive?
He'll
be in the front. No, living or dead.
Walt Disney.
Oh, what an answer that is, by you.
Probably Steven Spielberg as well.
Right.
And who else?
You seen his documentary on Sky Atlantic or Sky Arts?
Oh, no, I've not seen it.
Oh, you'll love it. There you go.
There you go. And then one more. Somebody that's a character that would be funny.
No women there.
Oh, no.
It's a great question, isn't it?
It is. I'm just trying to think of somebody else. Probably Peter Kay.
Oh, there we go.
That's a good mix.
You've covered everything there, haven't you?
Uh-huh, a bit of everything. Oh, he would just make me laugh the whole time.
Right, perfect. So, if that was a trip to Dingwall to watch Ross County, that's
I'm
the four
sure
you'd take.
I'm not sure they would come up the A9 with me.
Right, you also done Top Gear.
Uh huh.
Starring a reasonably priced car.
Yes.
Lap with the Stig, how did you get on?
So I am still to this day the fastest woman that they ever had.
Are you?
Yes, and they've got like a fast car now. It's not like a reasonably priced one now, and they still, I think Danny Boyle was doing it a couple of weeks ago and I clocked that and his time wasn't as quick as mine. So I was 0.2 seconds behind Tom Cruise. But what's annoying is that in my practice laps, I was quicker than Tom Cruise, but they only count the ones where they tell you, right, this is your lap.
Oh, really?
So I was gutted because I was like, I knew that I was quicker than him.
Did Tom Cruise have his high heels on or off when he was driving?
I don't know.
Ugh.
I don't know.
So have you got in the fast car? Do you think you could?
Oh, I don't know, but I was just, like, some. I think I'm still in the top 10 from that final series before it was all changed. So, yeah, but I did enjoy doing that.
Love it. Right, it's been a pleasure, by the way, but we're just coming up for the Hydro. You performed at the Hydro for the Ryder Cup opening ceremony.
Yes.
Was it a good crowd or was it all golf fans? Was it quite?
It was all American golfers and stuff like that. Is it in here?
Yeah, we're just going in the taxi. Right?
But it was good. I think I had the full orchestra with me, which is always great to play with the orchestra. And then I actually went up to Glen Eagles the next day and done the opening ceremony. So I had like Rory McIlroy and all that sat behind me. All the players were sat in the seats behind me, and I had to go out and sing.
Wow.
Yeah, after a wee introduction.
So did you get to meet the players,
I didn't. Well, they were all there. I could have done, but I'm always, I hate annoying people. Like, right. I hate going up and going, can I speak to you and whatnot? So I always, I
played
try
it cool.
to, yeah, I'm trying to be cool.
Quite a lot of people say I look like a Scottish famous golfer. Can you guess who?
Oh, really?
Colin Montgomery.
Do you? All right.
We'll just park up here behind that green car. Right, you've played most places in Scotland. Any other venues in the world you'd like to tick off?
Like Madison Square Gardens or something in New York would be incredible. Like, just the...
You and the boss?
Oh, yeah.
That's a dream.
That would be perfect, wouldn't it?
And last one, maybe there one day as well, soon? Sometime soon, maybe an album comes?
I don't know, it's massive in there. Like, it holds so many people. It's a great venue, though. When that first opened, I went to see Fleetwood Mac in there.
So did I.
And it was brilliant.
Oh,
like,
amazing.
I absolutely loved it. And I was like, oh, it's great that we've got this big venue now. So you never know, it's brilliant. I love that Glasgow's got that now.
Open goal, coming to see Amy at the Hydro. There you go. Amy, pleasure. Thanks very much.
Thank you very
Cheers.
Much. Thank you.
Don't be a man down. Leave your phone on the subs bench while driving. Drive smart.